Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Community. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
So we are made for community. We're going to wrap up this series today on community, and I want to start with a quote. Some of you may know who Peter Drucker is. He wrote and he taught business management, and he's known at least for this famous quote. It's the only Peter Drucker quote I know, but his quote was this: culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. What he was saying to business people is that the culture of a company always determines the success of the company, regardless of how amazing the strategy is. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Now, this doesn't just apply to the business world, because the culture of any group of people will determine a great deal about the health and the longevity of that group and the task that they work on. This is true about businesses, but it's also true about family systems. It's true about organizations like clubs. It's also true about the body of Christ, the church. And unfortunately, over the last decade or so, we have heard about the toxic cultures that have been found in organizations, and we've heard about spectacular and not so spectacular falls of leaders as well as organizations in both the secular world and the church world. But I don't want to focus this morning on those negative examples of culture that have destroyed organizations. I want to focus on a couple of organizations that are getting it right. Now, I'm going to assume that everybody in here has at some point in their lifetime gone into a Chick-fil-A restaurant for a meal. Yes. Yeah. And you know, if you've noticed, there's something about the culture of a Chick-fil-A restaurant. Wherever you go, I've been to a Chick-fil-A restaurant anywhere, all and up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and that culture is permeated from store to store. It's a culture of kindness. It's a culture of friendliness, and it never fails to catch me off guard when a 16-year-old server says to me, after I pay for my meal and I say thank you, they go, "My pleasure." Teenagers don't say that in the real world, do they? But if they work for an organization that has a culture of friendliness and kindness, it permeates the organization. And that's why you see that healthy culture at Chick-fil-A. Now, let me tell you about another example. If you've ever been to the First Cathedral Church over in Bloomfield, it's that massive, huge church with a big green roof. If you've ever been there for an event or even on a Sunday morning, you will experience a culture of love and kindness and respect that congregation exudes to everybody that enters the threshold of those doors. I remember years ago, my family and I went there on a Sunday morning, and I got to tell you that we were shown love and respect and kindness by probably a dozen people before we found our seats in the auditorium. Now, in that church service, they had a meet and greet time. So after the first announcements, they would invite everybody to stand up and say hello to the neighbors, shake their hands. Well, they didn't just turn to the person beside them. They walked across and they would shake hands. Some of them were huggers, and it was just this huge outpouring of kindness and love and respect. Now, I still remember this because my kids were in elementary school. And as I said, not everybody were handshake greeters. Some of them were huggers. And I still have this vivid memory of my kids going like this as several people came up and hugged them that they didn't know. But you know, the culture of the church, the body of Christ, is that it's supposed to be a place where love and kindness and respect is handed out verbally and physically to everyone that enters the door. It's supposed to be a place where people understand that we love God and we love people. It's supposed to be a place where there's a culture that is different than the rest of the world. Why? Because God calls us to be His followers, not followers of the world and the way of the world. So it's a culture of love and respect. It's a culture of kindness. It's a culture where we're grateful for the blessings of God. And today, as we end this series on community, I want to talk about the fact that as a community, we should have a culture of gratitude. This week, I was reading in my own devotional time, Psalm 107, and it begins this way: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And His people are supposed to be the messengers of that love. So giving thanks to God is acknowledging and worshiping God for what He has done in the world, for what He has done in history, for what He has done in the church, for what He has done in our lives, and in every other place we recognize and see His presence and His touch. And since there has been so much that God has done, we need to thank God, honestly, all the time. And that means that the church as a community, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to embrace a culture of gratitude. And in fact, in the New Testament, it makes it clear that we're supposed to embrace this. And there's a book in the New Testament, the book of Colossians. I'll share with it in a minute, but I want to share with you something that the pastor Brian Wilkerson says. He goes, there's a benefit to gratitude. He says, we thrive when we're thankful. We thrive when we're thankful. This is what I think he's saying. He says, when we embrace a culture of thankfulness, it changes us for the better. Why? Because we're grateful for what we have seen God do, for what God is doing, and what we know He will do. We're not focusing on the things that are lacking. We're focusing on the blessings that we recognize and we're giving thanks. Now, as I said, there's a book in the New Testament, the book of Colossians. It was written to the church in the area of Asia Minor called Colossae, and the Apostle Paul wrote this. And let me just illustrate to you about the power of a culture of gratitude. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. He was imprisoned for his faith. He was imprisoned because he had dared to share the good news of Jesus. And when he was arrested and tried, he appealed to his Roman citizenship. And so he was sent to Rome, where he was imprisoned until he would have trial. But he wasn't depressed about being in prison. He used that time in prison, because he was given access to writing materials, to write several of the letters to the churches that we now have in our New Testament. And the letter that he wrote to the church in Colossae is filled with gratitude. In fact, six times he goes into a message about why we should be thankful, why we should live a life of thankfulness, why we should have a culture of gratitude. And to me, it's remarkable that he did that when he was in prison, where his freedom had been taken away from him. He didn't see it as woe is me. He said, this is an opportunity for me to communicate to the churches that I've helped start throughout the known world at that time. And he did that because he had a sense of gratitude. And in that gratitude, he was able to thrive. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment to demonstrate to you how significant it is that we embrace a culture of gratitude. In the original Greek language in which the New Testament was written in, the word we translate as thanks or as thanksgiving is this word, eucharisto, eucharisto. Now, maybe you have grown up in a church tradition where you celebrated the Eucharist on a weekly basis. In the Catholic Church, they call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. Now, literally, it means thanksgiving. And so the Lord's Supper is an opportunity to give thanks to God for what he has done through Jesus' sacrifice and death for the salvation of the world. So it makes sense to call it that. Now you're saying, well, why don't we call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist? Well, in the 1500s, the church began to go through a split. There was the Catholic Church, and then there were those who were protesting. They became the Protestant Church. And as many things were, they dropped a lot of the names and expressions and traditions when they left the Catholic Church. And now we call it the Lord's Supper. But even so, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we know that God is present in that. And we also know that it's a time where we remember what he has done for us and give him thanks. So that's my little aside on the Greek word for thanks. Now, I'm going to go back to the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul instructs his readers, as I said, six different occasions in this very short book to be thankful. And there are three different ways that he instructs us to direct our thankfulness. Here's the first one. Be thankful to God. I think you saw that one coming, right? In the verses that follow that we're going to read, you'll see that we're supposed to be thankful to God. So this is a little bit of a long section here. So, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, all you English folks, that was a huge run-on sentence to start with, wasn't it? But you saw the big idea here. It's that we give joyful thanks to God the Father. And did you notice for what? Because he has qualified us. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. In other words, he has forgiven us of our sins. He has said, when he looks at those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus and accepted his forgiveness for their sins, he says, I don't see them as sinful people anymore. I see them as qualified people to inherit the kingdom of God on this earth and eternally. He's saying that I have seen these people as forgiven, washed clean of their sins. And so that's why we give thanks to God. We worship God for the things that he has done and the things that he's doing. And he says, give joyful thanks to God because he saved you. He has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has qualified us. Now, it's helpful for us to remember that it is God who saves people. There is nothing that you and I can do that can save ourselves. Our sin disqualifies us, but we thank God that he sent Jesus to pay for our sins once and for all, so that if we believe in him and accept his forgiveness, we're forgiven. And as Paul writes, we're qualified. In Paul's words, we thank God because he has qualified us to share in that inheritance. He's made us holy people. He's brought us into the kingdom of light because he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, that eternal separation from God. And he's brought us into the kingdom that his Son, who loves us and that he loves, so that we can be with him and reign forever. We're redeemed. We're forgiven of our sins. That's why Paul writes that we're supposed to be thankful to God. But he says, not just be thankful to God, I want you to be thankful for other people. So when he began this letter And when he began to talk about this prayer, this is what he wrote in chapter 1. He said, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard of it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a fellow minister of Christ on our behalf and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit." So we give thanks for one another. We give thanks for the people that God has placed in our lives and for what he's doing in their lives to help us and to help others. What he's doing in their lives as they, as brothers and sisters in Christ, follow him. And also, we thank God for everybody in our lives. So think this through. Thank God as you pray for all the people in your life. Thank God for what's going on in their lives. And if they're people of faith, thank God for their faith. And if they're not people of faith, thank God and ask him to give you the opportunity to share with them why you believe in Jesus. But think this through. You know, it's easy to thank God for the people that you know and love. But it's also important to thank God for what he's doing in their lives and in the lives of other people also. So I'm going to give you some people to think about. People to think about thanking God for. So thank God and pray for your church leaders, for missionaries, for people who are Christians and people who are not, and for people who are seeking God. Thank God for the people in our nation, our state, and our local areas that are leaders in our community. Thank people in the communities where you work, where you go to school. Thank God for the people who help you grow through their encouragement. And yes, thank God for the people who help you grow through their criticism. A little bit harder to do. Thank God for those who are part of a long line of people who helped one person come to faith, who helped another person come to faith, who helped another person come to faith, and who eventually helped you come to faith. And thank God for the people that you're able to share your faith with. The list is endless, people that we can thank God for. And if you just stop to think about it, even the people who challenge you, who sometimes make it difficult, there's an opportunity there to thank God for them. The reality is the list is endless. And we need to thank God for who he has placed in our lives. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, God has placed people in your life for important reasons. So, we're supposed to thank God for who he is. We're supposed to thank God for the people in our lives. The last thing that this section of Scripture tells us about is we need to be thankful as we follow Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read just a series of verses from the letter of Colossians. Starting in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." Overflow with thankfulness. Then let's go on. We'll go on to chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. "Since God chose you to be his holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As we follow Jesus, thankfulness needs to permeate who we are. And then there's this last verse in chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Thankfulness is supposed to permeate us as followers of Jesus. It's supposed to be the culture of the body of Christ, the community of Christ. And you know, there's so much in those passages about how we are supposed to follow Jesus, the kind of things that Christ followers are supposed to do, and the way that we're supposed to live our lives, not only in the body of Christ, but outside in the rest of the world. And all of it is supposed to be done with an attitude of thankfulness. Of all people, Christ followers should be overflowing with thankfulness and have thankful hearts as we follow Jesus. Why? Because we know God loves us. Because Jesus paid for our sins and purchased our forgiveness. Because we have received the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live for Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, the church. So yes, we should always be thankful as we follow Jesus. Now I want to switch gears and practice what I'm preaching about. I want to thank God for what he's done here at Valley Brook. I want to thank God for what he's doing here. I want to thank God for how he's working through you to love God, to love people, and to change the world as Christ followers. And so I'm just going to mention several areas of what I see God has done and what he's doing. Let me talk about making followers of Jesus Christ, disciple making. You know, I'm thankful that disciple making is happening here at Valley Brook. That's always been a key part of what we want to do. We want to reach people who aren't followers, help them become followers, and we want to build them up and build up all followers of Jesus to become fully devoted followers or disciples. So I'm thankful that I'm hearing an increasing emphasis on growing as followers of Jesus. And I'm thankful for that because that means you don't want to just learn something from the Bible for the sake of learning it. It actually means you want to learn something so you can be more like Jesus and follow him more faithfully. See, it's not about head knowledge. It's about heart knowledge and living it out. And so to that end, I'm grateful that we have a staff and leaders who are committed to helping us become fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Let me just give you a couple of examples. I've seen things that's going on in our women's ministry and our men's ministry recently, and I've seen women and men who want to connect around their faith in Jesus or learn more about him if they're seeking to become followers, and I'm seeing them grow. Last month, you may have heard our community time where we shared about our Mama's Moments ministry. That's a ministry for young moms with preschoolers and toddlers who get together and they spend some time over a meal, and then they have some older moms whose kids are grown and out of the house now, who come in and they provide childcare for the children while the younger moms get together to study scripture and to talk and to care for one another and build community to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And that's exciting. Exciting to see that happen in our women's ministry. Our men's ministry has been exciting over the past months as we've seen more and more people who are, more and more men who are new to Valley Brook or who are coming now for the first time. And the thing that I keep hearing over and over is how meaningful it is for men to get together with other men to talk about faith, to learn, to grow, to get questions answered, to talk about the real struggles that they have. And that's exciting. This is discipleship. And I'm thankful for that. Now let me switch over to talk about serving. You know, I'm thankful for so many of you who understand that Jesus wants to use our hands and our hearts to serve him and to serve others. Let me just tell you how I see that happening here at Valley Brook. And it's a long list. You pray for people. There was a prayer request sent out today for our prayer team. And we're just grateful that we can support that family that's going through their own grief right now. You teach children. There's a whole bunch of people serving over in our children's wing right now, teaching children and students and caring for kids in the nursery. You make coffee and refreshments. There's a whole team out in our cafe that have set up coffee and refreshments for you, to serve you. There's a group of incredible volunteers who hang out with middle schoolers and other teenagers on Wednesday night. I mean, those men and women, they're like heroes, right? There's a couple of them right there. Some of you teach and preach. You lead Bible studies and life groups. You serve in our Spanish-speaking community. You love on the babies in the nursery. You give a week to serve God at Bible school. You go on short-term mission trips. You welcome and greet people. Hopefully you were greeted lovingly and respectfully this morning when you came in. You serve as ushers and our safety team members. Those folks are here every Sunday morning. You do whatever it takes to reach people, to share with them the love of Jesus through words and actions. You make meals for those who are going through a difficult time. You help people move from one place to another place. Literally, we've helped people pack up trucks and move. You send cards to those who are sick. You gather and split firewood for those in our community who can't afford firewood to heat their homes. You show up for others at hard times and in good times. You serve in our outreaches like the Live Nativity, the Easter Egg Hunt, and Trunk or Treat. You count our offerings and serve on our finance team. You mow the grass and clean our campus grounds. You volunteer at our clothes closet. You go to outreaches like at the Street Church in Hartford to minister to the folks in the city. You lead worship here in Granby at Meadowbrook Nursing Home to care for that underserved population right here in our community. You participate in our outreach to the greater Hartford area through Urban Alliance. You serve these events and witness with your hands and your hearts for Jesus. And your hearts break for the things that break the heart of God. And that's powerful. That's powerful. You have servant-oriented hearts. Now, I'm going to recognize one group of people that I thank God for, our elders. Now, if you don't know our elders, and if you don't know anything about them, to a person on our elder board, not only are they elders, but they serve in at least two other ministries at Valley Brook, at least two other ministries. So they're serving in at least three ministries. And that's just a powerful testimony to the type of servant leaders we have here at Valley Brook. So that's awesome. Now, let me talk about missions. I'm thankful for your support of missions here at Valley Brook. You know, from the day we started Valley Brook, we said we wanted to spread the gospel not only here, but around the world. And from that very beginning, back in the year 2000, we said, you know what? We're going to set aside 10% of every offering that comes into our general fund. And we really only have one other fund, and that's the building fund. But we're going to set aside every offering that comes about 10% to support missionaries. And today we support 19 missionaries around the world and even here in New England. And that's something that we count as a privilege to do. And we have committed to always support those missionaries no matter what. A few years ago, we decided we would support our movement of churches called Converge. So we actually now give 11% of our general funds for mission and ministry beyond the doors of Valley Brook. And over our 24 years, that's amounted to over $1.8 million given to sharing the good news of Jesus around the world. Yeah, yeah. Last week, we announced our baby bottle drive for ABC Women's Ministry, Women's Center in down in Middletown, and I was blown away because we had 50 or more empty baby bottles for people to take and to fill up between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and as I was leaving the building, I looked over the table, and there were no bottles left. Thank you. Thank you for being generous. Now, if you didn't get a bottle, don't worry. We've replenished it. So there are other bottles out there, and you can bring them back on Father's Day. But that was just amazing to me. I'm thankful that you understand the power of mission trips. You know, before the pandemic, in our short 20 years of ministry, we had gone on 27 mission trips, whether they were adult only or student mission trips. Now, since the pandemic ended, in the past couple of years, we've gone on 3 mission trips, short-term mission trips, and we're already planning one for next winter of 25, to Guatemala. So if you want to find out more information about that, go to our mission page and prayerfully begin to see if God wants you to go and be the hands and the heart of Jesus in Guatemala. Let's also talk about evangelism. Valley Brook was started out of a desire to reach people who were far from Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this is a church that wants people to come to faith in Jesus. I'm thankful that people will participate in our outreaches. You'll come and serve. You'll invite your friends. You'll do whatever it takes to reach people with that message. I'm thankful that God let a group of Valley Brookers who were bilingual in Spanish to start our Spanish translation service that's going on right now over in our venue. And I'm thankful that we've always had a vision to plant other churches. We've been able to support 4 other, we would call them daughter churches to Valley Brook, and that's exciting. And I'm also thankful for your generosity. From the first year we started at Valley Brook, and every year, we've taught what the Bible says about generosity. We don't do fundraisers for Valley Brook. We tell you that Scripture says that we're supposed to support the ministry of the church through our tithes and our offerings. And so for all those 24 years, we've taught tithing. Tithing is the biblical principle of giving 10% of your income to the ministry of the church. And I've always taught, listen, if that seems overwhelming to you, just figure out what percentage you give. And then prayerfully ask God if you can go up a percentage and make that a goal. Why? Because that's part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be able to step into the things that Scripture teaches us about being a follower of Jesus. So I'm grateful for those of you who tithe and are taking steps up to tithe, and for those of you who give offerings that maybe aren't a tithe, but that's still out of your generosity. And so I'm grateful for that. Because you're leaning in, again, to discipleship. And I'm thankful for the generosity that we've received in ways that we would have never expected. You guys right now are sitting in the midst of a miracle. Hopefully you know the story, but back in 2013, this 80-acre campus and all the buildings were given to us freely as a gift, because people saw what God was doing through Valley Brook. No kudos to us, but kudos to God. And they said, you know, we have this estate that we don't want to use anymore, but we want it to go to a good cause. And we believe that what you're doing is a good cause. And it was donated to us. And that just blows my mind every time I drive on this campus. Now, with that understanding, I believe the scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so we need to be faithful followers of Jesus. And that means being grateful and leaning in to our discipleship as his followers. So let me bring this to a conclusion and turn it back to us. God has called us into this community that we call the church. God has called us to be a part of this community, and it's a new family. It's not our biological family, although our biological family also may be part of the body of Christ, and that's awesome. But Jesus has called us to be a part of this community, and it means that we're connected through our common faith in Jesus. It doesn't mean that we have it all figured out, because we're all on a journey with God. But it means that as we come together that we're going to love one another and we're going to love God together. We're going to sacrifice for one another. We're going to serve God and serve one another and serve the world. And we're going to do that with a mindset, a culture of gratitude for all that he's given us. So as we wrap this up, I want you to lean into that. I want you to think about how you can show your gratitude to God, to others, and also live in that culture of gratitude, because we're called to be his followers. And you saw all the instructions in that one little letter from the Apostle Paul about how we're supposed to embrace this culture of gratitude and let it emanate from who we are as his followers. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as they prepare for the final song. But in this time, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for all of us that we can embrace this culture of gratitude, and so we can lean into it. And I'm going to do one other thing. If you've heard this today and you say, wow, you know, I'm beginning to understand more and more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and I'm not one. If you want to become a follower of Jesus today, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer. I'm going to give you some suggested words that you can put in your own words and pray them silently back to God. But here's the deal. If you pray that prayer, I don't want it just to be something that you pray and nothing happens in response to it. I want to give you some material to encourage you in this new decision to follow Jesus. And so if you would let me know or send us an email at connect@valleybrook.cc, we'll put that material in your hand so that you can lean into this decision and grow in that relationship. So let's bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to start off with that prayer for anyone who wants to put their faith in Jesus. God, as we gather here today, we're grateful for all that you've done. You are a generous God, overflowing with so many wonderful blessings to us. And Lord, I know there may be somebody out here today who wants to put their trust in you. And if that's you, just pray these words silently back to God. Dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sins. And I believe that you raised him back from the dead, God. And today, I want to say I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And we'll say amen to that prayer. Now, Lord, I pray for all of us that in the midst of the ups and downs of this life, we can understand how much you've blessed us and we can embrace this culture of gratitude, that we can be thankful to you, that we can be thankful to one another, and that we can live a life that exudes gratitude as your sons and daughters. Lord, remind us of all the blessings. Remind us of the blessings of those people that you've put in our lives, and use it to help us be faithful followers of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.